At the top of our program yesterday, Attorney General Bill Schuette unveiled a new 64-page report to address the issue of human trafficking here in Michigan. The report was prepared by the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission, which is a bipartisan group of legislators, law enforcement officials, educators, and other stakeholders that was assembled by Schuette last March to address the issue of modern-day slavery. Joining us by phone to discuss what's in the report and to tell us more about human trafficking is Bridget Carr. She's the director of the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Michigan School of Law and was a member of the commission. Bridget, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mark.
Tell us at the top here, what exactly is human trafficking?
Human trafficking is when individuals are compelled into service, either in sex trafficking or in labor trafficking. And that compulsion can be by force or fraud or coercion, or for anyone under the age of 18 who is being sold for sex, just their use is the compulsion. So it's really when people are exploited for profit.
Is it more often for sex, or is it more often for the labor?
So the conversation in the media and pop culture is often about sex trafficking. However, we actually identify more labor trafficking cases than we do sex trafficking. But that's really because right now we're still criminalizing victims of sex trafficking. We see them as prostitutes, and so we view them as people who need to be arrested. And so once the work of the commission is implemented and we can really move Michigan's laws to victim-centered laws, I think we'll see more sex trafficking cases.
Is this, I take it, one of the recommendations in your report?
It is. So right now we see in the human trafficking clinic every day how victims of human trafficking are criminalized. So, for example, we know of a 14-year-old who was being sold for sex in Ann Arbor, and when she was found, she wasn't treated as a victim. She was held as a juvenile delinquent because she had cigarettes on her, so she was a minor in possession of tobacco. We represent a woman who was sold and brutally abused for years by a pimp, and she's a witness in a federal prosecution, but she faces a prostitution charge in a Detroit suburb. We represent kids who have been held in domestic servitude in Washtenaw County who were identified by their teachers as victims of child abuse, put in a state system that didn't recognize their unique trafficking needs and really caused them significant harm. So we know that a paradigm shift in Michigan needs to occur, and the commission's recommendations will really allow that to happen.
I think many people imagine foreign nationals as the victims of human trafficking. Are Americans victims to human trafficking as well?
They are. Sadly, there's no way to be immune from human trafficking. And so we see in many of our labor trafficking cases that the victims are often foreign nationals. But in most of our sex trafficking cases, the victims are actually U.S. citizens. You can be a victim of trafficking growing up in your own neighborhood and being sold there. So you don't have to be transported or moved across a state line or an international line to be a victim. It can happen in your community to your community members.
And I take it statistics are pretty hard to come by. The state doesn't keep track, neither does the FBI. Do you have a sense of how pervasive this problem is in Michigan?
So we don't have a sense. I can't give you a number that happens to X number of people every year. But what I can tell you is that we work on cases throughout the state of Michigan, from large cities to small towns. Labor and sex trafficking is occurring in all of these communities. One thing I often like to say is, point me to a community that doesn't have a problem with illegal drugs, and that might be the community that doesn't have a problem with human trafficking. Human trafficking is more profitable than selling drugs. If I have humans as my commodity, I don't have to replenish them in the same way. I can sell the same person over and over again. And the likelihood that I will get caught is also much lower. If I have 100 pounds of cocaine in my home and someone sees it, they're going to call the police. If I have 100 pounds of a slave, in all likelihood, I'm so good at what I do that no one will even know that she's my slave. And so the risk is very low for me to be caught, but my reward is in a tremendous amount of profit.
It sounds as if human trafficking can be hard to track. Is that generally the case?
It is generally the case that it's hard to track, which is why part of the commission's report is about trying to increase the number of tools that law enforcement has to go after this issue. But it's also hard to track because it's often happening in ways that we don't want to talk about. You know, you can drive down I-94 or on I-96 and see billboards that say, Asian massage parlor open 9 a.m. to 2 a.m. We don't really want to confront what's happening in our communities. That sign is saying that people are being sold for sex. And we're not having those conversations. And so it's going to take some tough conversations in our communities about who's buying services of exploited people and who's profiting from them.
Mm. Bridget Carr is on the line with us this morning. Bridget's the director of the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Michigan School of Law and was a member of the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission, which just released a new 64-page report as to how to address human trafficking in Michigan. This commission was convened by the Attorney General last March, Bill Schuette. What was the process like as to coming up with the 64-page report?
A lot of hard work. I've been asked to be on a number of commissions and task forces, and I have to say, at this one, everyone showed up to the table every month, and then we had meetings, subcommittee meetings aside from that. It took some really hard conversations and some significant compromises. Look, this report is not the report that Bridget Carr, director of the Human Trafficking Clinic, would write. I didn't get everything I wanted, and just like other folks at the table didn't get everything they wanted. But I think what the report reflects is an extremely important collaboration and compromise to put together a comprehensive strategy to fight trafficking in Michigan. And, you know, we should be improving on it in the years ahead, but this is the crucial first step that needs to take place.
Give us an example of something, the recommendation in the report that you really like.
I really like the recommendation in the report that allows victims of human trafficking to vacate convictions if they're a victim of human trafficking. It recognizes that we are not going to identify all victims the first time around and that we are still going to be criminalizing some victims. And so by saying that we have a mechanisms for folks to go back and erase those mistakes, erase those convictions that were made when they were actually victims of trafficking, is an important acknowledgement that we're not going to be perfect at this, but we still have to find a way to protect those victims when we're not perfect at it.
And give us an example of one of the shortcomings in the report.
The federal law says that anyone under the age of 18 who's induced to perform a commercial sex act is a victim of human trafficking. It's a full stop immunity. I had hoped that was the next step that Michigan would take. Instead, the commission compromised on the idea that we would offer a presumption of victimization for individuals under the age of 18 who are being sold for sex. And that presumption goes away if they don't comply with court-ordered services. So, you know, that didn't get us all the way to federal law the way I hoped we would, but it's a huge step, and we're 80% of the way there. And I think that change will put us on the step to full immunity in the years to come.
What got in the way of that, though, Bridget?
You know, I think there are concerns. And you know, probably, I think all coming from really good intentions of, if we can't keep these individuals in some type of lockdown facility, they're going to be at risk to be exploited again by their pimps, or they won't get the services they need to recover. I understand the motivation for that kind of thinking. My position simply is, if you are a victim, you are a victim, period. And if you are a victim, nothing you do or say in connection with services should change whether you're a victim or not. And so we're getting there. Look, this is a huge paradigm shift that we're asking states to take on, moving away from criminalizing these folks to treating them as victims. And, you know, I think about the domestic violence movement. We didn't get there in one report. We didn't get there in 1 year. And so we're getting there, and these are really important victim-based steps that we're going to take.
A bunch of your report addresses how to identify victims of human trafficking. What are some of those ways, and how can you train people to better be more vigilant about instances of human trafficking in the community?
Well, I think one of the most important things we can do is start telling people what it is, that it's not exotic, that it's compelled service, and giving them a sense of what to look for. Every time I do a training of whether it's law enforcement or doctors, folks say, oh yeah, I've seen that, but I never had the label that went with it. It kind of looked like child abuse or kind of looked like domestic violence, but there were these other parts to it and it didn't fit the narrative I had in my head. So sometimes really educating folks about the label is extremely powerful. The other thing is trying to explain to people the tactics that traffickers use that 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 would make these victims extremely vulnerable. Traffickers are so good. The victims are not going to self-identify. This is not, you know, a Lifetime movie where when law enforcement comes in, the victims raise their hands and say, save me. These are complex situations in which traffickers have convinced their victims that they're safer with them than they would be with anyone else. And so, you know, we have to work even harder to help them.
It's not hard to imagine younger victims of human trafficking. Are there many older victims as well?
There are, and sadly, the conversations around trafficking often seem to only focus on younger victims. But I always say, you know what? 14-year-olds turn 16, and 16-year-olds turn 19, and 19-year-olds turn 25. And so, you know, people get older, and often traffickers have identified people when they're younger, groom them to be victims, and then keep exploiting them. And then by the time someone's 22, let's say in a sex trafficking situation, they're 22, they have 7 prostitution convictions, they might be addicted to drugs, and they've been arrested by cops so many times that they're not looking to cops as someone who's going to help them and see them as a victim. So it's really important that we don't stop thinking about victims as victims when they turn 18.
Can someone who's been through this horrific experience, the way you just described it, over a period of quite a few years, how often can people like that successfully reengage with society? I imagine the longer they're a victim, the harder it becomes to reengage, to reconnect with ordinary life.
You're exactly right, and you know that's what's really sad about this is all of those missed opportunities to help that person makes it even harder for them to succeed later when they do get help. You know, but human beings are amazingly resilient. I've seen some of my clients come out of situations of years and years and years of being exploited and have managed to restart their lives. It looks different than their life looked like before they were being exploited. But then I've seen others who are not able to overcome those things. And, you know, I think part of what the commission's report is trying to do is saying we need to look at the types of services and support these types of victims need because they're a little bit different than the other types of people that we're serving right now as victims. And so, look, we're not going to be able to help everyone. Not everyone is going to be able to rebuild their lives, which is a horrible, horrible tragedy. But the reality right now is we first have to stop arresting them. We first have to stop putting them in jail because they definitely can't rebuild their lives from jail.
What happens to the commission's report here now? Do we know the next steps?
Well, everyone's committed, led by Attorney General Schuette, to try to implement these provisions. I know that Representative Heise has committed to working on getting many of the provisions listed or many of the recommendations listed in the report introduced into the legislature. You know, I'll work hard to educate people about what the bills do and why they're important for victims. You know, but at the end of the day, it really rests on the members, the citizens of the state of Michigan, to say this is important to them and to encourage their legislators to pass legislation and encourage local law enforcement and others in their communities to do the types of things recommended in the report. If I had a magic wand that I could make everyone do these things, this issue would have been fixed a long time ago.
Very interesting discussion. Bridget Carrs, the director of the Human Trafficking Clinic at the University of Michigan School of Law. She was a member of the Michigan Human Trafficking Commission, which just released its report yesterday. Bridget, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.